Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
In order to eliminate uncertainty, manage outcomes, and reduce stress, we want to control things. The problem is the result is exactly the opposite. Have you ever seen a stress-free control freak? In this edition of By Your Life, we'll talk about how the best way to reduce stress is to give up control. Welcome to the 94th episode of By Your Life. I'm Lisa Hademan, and I know that you have 100 different things you could be doing right now, so I thank you for choosing By Your Life. My goal is to inspire, empower, support, challenge, and encourage you to connect Sunday with Monday through Friday in a secular business world. It's my desire to help you live our Catholic faith in the marketplace. I hope to offer you practical ways to go forth and glorify the Lord by your life. In this edition, we'll reflect on the readings for the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. The baptism of Jesus is a significant event in our relationship with our saving God because He, who had no need to be baptized, submitted to the plan of God for the salvation of the human race. Although He was without sin, He identified with sinners and accepted John's baptism to fulfill all righteousness. In accepting baptism, He submitted Himself entirely to His Father's will and His bloody death as God's suffering servant. The implications for us is significant because after Jesus was baptized, He came up from the water and behold, the heavens were open for Him and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon Him. Through His baptism, Jesus opened the heavens that Adam's sin had closed so that we too, through our baptism, may be sacramentally assimilated to Jesus, die and rise with Him. As a part of God's plan of salvation, this had to happen. Yet, if you back up a bit, you'll note that John tried to prevent Him saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me." Although he acted out of humility and his intentions were good, John wanted to control things. He thought he knew how things needed to be done and tried to convince Jesus otherwise. How often is our prayer life, or our lives in general, a reflection of the control freak that lives in each one of us? We pray to God to remove obstacles, change things, and make things go according to our plans, as if we knew how things ought to be done. 6 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. It was the second semester of my daughter's senior year in high school, and I didn't want her memories of that very special time of her life to be defined by her mother's cancer, and I was determined to make sure that wouldn't happen. So when my oncologist laid out my 6-month chemotherapy plan, I requested that we schedule the chemo treatments on Fridays so I could recuperate over the weekend. Then I delayed the start date so that the 21-day regimen wouldn't fall on Easter, her graduation, or her college orientation dates. I had it all planned, and I was in control. Or at least I thought I was, until I showed up on that Friday for my first treatment, and my low platelet count caused the doctor to change my plans. He ordered a prescription for me and told me to come back on Tuesday. As a result, the new day for all my treatments was Tuesdays. The date we had selected for my daughter's orientation was now out of the question, and all my well-laid plans went out the window. I looked at my doctor and I told him, "I can't come back on Tuesday. I have a client scheduled that morning." He gave me a caring yet a stern look and asked, "Do I have to call your boss?" Knowing full well that I was my boss. So I went back on Tuesday, but not before fretting all weekend about how this change was going to impact all my plans. I was concerned about how this would affect my daughter and all the senior end-of-year activities. I prayed and prayed, and then the words came to me, "Allow it now." Allow it now. These three little words that Jesus spoke to John the Baptist in our gospel on Sunday were spoken to me. I realized that in the same way my father's death when I was 7 years old was part of my journey and defining the person I would become, my having cancer was part of her journey and would help her become the person she was meant to be. So I allowed it. I stopped worrying about it, and I was filled with peace. There is a little bit of control freak in each of us. In order to eliminate uncertainty, manage outcomes, and reduce stress, we want to control things. The problem is, the result is exactly the opposite. Have you ever seen a stress-free control freak? If you are one, work with one, or work for one, you know that the more the person tries to control, the more stressed they are. Simon Sinek said, "Bad leaders believe that they have to project control at all times," and he's right. But let's be clear, there is a huge difference between being responsible and being controlling. Responsible leaders are responsible for the results. They clearly communicate the vision, hire, train, and equip their team to execute, and then get out of the way. Controlling leaders, on the other hand, feel it is necessary to be involved in every decision. Instead of training others, they feel it's easier to do it themselves. When others take initiative to solve problems, controlling leaders override their decisions, which is not only demotivating, it stifles individual and organizational growth. Good leaders know that their number one job is to develop their people, just as a good parent knows their number one job is to develop their children to do things on their own. Imagine a parent teaching his child to ride a bike, and the first time the child falls, he takes the bike away and rides it himself. Yes, the bike will get down the street faster that way, but that's not the point. A good parent knows their child will fall, but encourages him to get back on and try again. A good parent knows their child will make mistakes in life and encourages him to learn from them and keep going. A good leader does the same. I was working with a CEO who was frustrated he didn't have time to get everything done. When I asked why he was doing certain things, he said it was because he couldn't trust his leadership team to do things right. Instead of teaching them what factors he considered when making a decision, he just made the decision for them. Instead of training them to do the job, he'd step in and take over. He was riding their bikes for them, and he was wearing himself out. God our Father is a good parent. He doesn't ride our bike for us, and he doesn't prevent us from scraping our knee. He knows that suffering is an important part of our growth and development, so he allows it. In allowing it, he doesn't abandon us. He is a good parent who is there to pick us up and encourage us to keep going, for he knows what's waiting for us on the other end, even though we don't. He knows that we're going to forget the scrape once we've conquered our fear, just like the child who takes off down the street riding the bike on his own. It may sound counterintuitive, but giving up control brings peace. That is, if you give up control to someone you can trust. This Sunday, we sang the psalm, "The Lord will bless His people with peace." And in our second reading, Peter spoke to those present and to us, saying, "He proclaimed peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." Peace through Jesus Christ. You can trust the one who is Lord of all. Throughout my year of cancer treatment, I learned to trust the one who is Lord of all. When I questioned how I was going to force myself to go back in to be poisoned again, I knew the answer was that God would give me the strength, not a moment too soon, nor a moment too late. I'd accept that, and I let the worry go. And He did give me strength. I learned through the process to take one day at a time. I would enjoy the good days without fretting the next. And when there were bad days, I'd tackle them one at a time. I learned that we can handle a yucky day for just one day. I learned not to bring tomorrow's yucky day into today by worrying about it. In a sense, I learned to live the serenity prayer, and I still try to live it every day. So when you feel yourself getting overwhelmed, anxious, or stressed, follow the wisdom of a couple of football greats. Saquon Barkley, the great philosopher and running back for the New York Giants, said, "You can only control what you can control." And Coach Tony Dungy declared, "I've said all along that God is in control." So you too should ask yourself what you can control, and for all the rest, place it at the feet of Jesus. So I will end with a serenity prayer by theologian Reinhold Niebuhr. In doing so, I pray that you and I will find peace that defies understanding by submitting to the will of God. Trust in Him and submit to His will, just as Jesus did by His baptism. Let's pray. God, give us the grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that You will make all things right if I surrender to Your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with You forever in the next. Amen. May God bless you abundantly this week as you let go of control and glorify the Lord by your life. If you like this episode, spread the word. You know what to do: forward, share, or click to post. Also, check out the resources page where you can find a link to the books and other resources mentioned in other episodes of By Your Life. And I'm always interested in what you think, so give me some feedback by leaving a comment.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by A few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zimak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.